Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's a fantastic 29th of April in the San Francisco Bay Area where I am. It's boiling hot, high 80s, and it's going to be 90 tomorrow maybe.
What's the usual temperature there?
This time of year, it's, you know, 70s, 60s.
Oh. Yeah, well, you got that, that global warming.
Yeah, it's El Nino or one of those crazy things going on.
I guess some drought. Got some news today in San Francisco. We'll get to it in a second. Lots of other news going on around. And some of it interesting, some of it funny, but markets have been flopping around, massive moves on the tap of the 50-day, the 200-day. We had just yesterday on Monday another just a horrible move on the markets, and miracle of miracles, they finished up for the day. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the 50-day, now you have to kind of focus and figure out what's going on because you have a 50-day average, which is the moving average. You have the 50-day exponential moving average. And the S&P hit the 50-day exponential moving average, and I guess they all pushed the button there, the buy button that was somewhere on their desk, and boom, everything just went straight up from 2 o'clock.
Explain the difference between these two moving averages with the same number of days.
So the 50-day, you take the average of the a standard average. So you take the 50-day average of the past 50 days, and a moving average is you keep moving it. So 50 days from today backwards, and yesterday's would have been 50 days from yesterday backwards, and you get the average of the price, and you chart it. You put it on a chart, and you see where it is. An exponential moving average is weights the more recent data much more highly. So therefore, you're going to get a closer level to where you are today. Kind of speeds it up a little bit, brings it closer. So the exponential is going to do that weighting, and therefore give you a number that's slightly different. When you get into shorter, it's going to, you know, it really doesn't matter. But longer term, it may, if things were moving down, all of a sudden started moving up, you're going to get more, or down, you're going to get more of a reading that's closer to the current. So you can kind of, you know, for whatever reason you want to deal with it. I like looking at both in terms of where they're trending.
Okay.
If we're looking at something like a crossover of an indicator, oftentimes, what I like to do is use a smoothing average of a regular moving average, the traditional, and then put a shorter term one. So let's say I use a 50 and a 20. So I use a 50-day moving average, and I'll use a 20-day exponential moving average. And when I see a cross of one, the trend is changing. So when the 20-day moves above or below, I see the trend is changing.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, I would know the trend is changing by looking at the chart. But nonetheless, it gives you a little bit more to look at. And oftentimes you'll see that money managers, hedge funds, you know, and investors will look at these and look at these crossover numbers as an indicator of something, of change. So this is the second time we saw that. Last week or the week before, the NASDAQ hit the 200-day moving average because it's been coming down pretty hard. And it bounced just crazy. So we'll see what happens here. There's been some earnings that have been out. We're in the midst of earnings season. And I think that we've seen some really good earnings. Apple came out with just blowout numbers in terms of their iPhone, in terms of their overall earnings. And they came out with a 7-for-1 stock split. And they came out with an 8% increase of their dividend, as well as the fact they're increasing their share repurchase plan by, I think it's $30 billion. And they're planning on paying this 8% increased dividend on an annual basis. So they increase it every year. What else can you ask for?
I don't know what else you could do to.
They're
pump
giving
up
away
the stock.
Toasters to all the shareholders. I mean,
it's hilarious.
What else, right?
I don't know. It seems to me that anyone that shorted that stock is nuts.
Yeah, and on top of that, today they came to market with.
But doesn't it seem a little desperate? I mean, why are they doing this? They got something bad coming up, and they're trying to protect their flanks?
I don't know. Well, I think they've been getting a lot of crap because of all the money they have in the coffers, right? And the question of whether or not they have this money that's outside of the U.S. that's untaxed.
Right.
So maybe they're trying to spend it, right?
Could be.
But that shouldn't be thought of too quickly because a day later or 2 days later, which is today, they come out with an announcement they're doing a $12 billion debt offering to pay for the various programs they're putting in place.
Although they have money in the bank, they could just use their own cash, but they're borrowing it because money's so cheap.
Money's so cheap, they're borrowing it, and what the heck? So now they're going to borrow money at, let's just call it 3%, let's say, just as a number, maybe a little more or less, and they're going to use that to fund their share repurchases and to share pay for the dividends.
Hmm.
And I assure you that $12 billion is going to be gobbled up. So
yeah.
At 3%. Woohoo! So technology has been hit pretty hard. We've seen a lot of names really just get taken out to the woodshed, especially the social media. There was a incredible round of selling on biotechs, even though there was some interesting merger activity. But you got to look at like things like Amazon. I don't know if you saw their numbers, but they came out with earnings last week. And at first, the stock was up 6%. And I'm reading through the earnings release. I'm looking at the notes. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Why is the stock up 6%? I said, one of the things that we're looking at is their expectations for next quarter is upwards of a $400 to $500 million loss coming up next quarter.
Yeah.
I said, I don't understand how we could even think that's good because they're using it to expand. And, well, lo and behold, the next day everybody kind of woke up, I think, and realized, you know what, maybe this isn't so good. And the stock got crushed. Now, I wanted to ask you about, do you think that Amazon is jumping the shark with their same-day delivery?
Well, I find it interesting how they desperately want to do this. I mean, apparently they joined in with some courier companies in San Francisco for that sort of thing. I don't know why they just don't open a giant Amazon store, like a storefront, you know, go do everything backwards. In these areas where they want same-day delivery. And then they can have little same-day delivery guys running in and out of the stores, and people can also come in if they want to pick it up so we can get, like, same-minute delivery.
Yeah, but if they do that, aren't they just going against what they did so well to what they beat? You know, they beat the brick and mortars, and they really conquered this whole level of delivery and people being patient enough in general to wait for their goods a day or two or three later. And, you know, to cut down on the costs because there's a lot of costs involved in all of the brick and mortar with employees and all the different things that go along with that. Plus the fact that they can have a lot more goods spread out all over the country and just delivered to you from anywhere. It doesn't have to be in any particular location. And now they're going to go and try to do a same day deal. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, they must have studied something somewhere or listened to something that indicates somebody else is going to do it if they don't. It's the only thing I can think of.
But what's the difference with same-day delivery? Because if you need something that quickly, you just go to a store and get it. There's plenty of stores. Now the competition increases dramatically.
Well, if I go to if I need something same-day, especially if it has to do with electronic stuff, I do have a Fry's, which is about, I guess it's about a 25-minute ride. I go to Concord, and I go to the Fry's there, and I usually pick it up right there, and then I'll usually buy two or three other things that I need and I would have maybe ordered from Amazon. So Amazon will lose a sale. I mean, the same day they won't lose that sale because I'm not going to give it to them anyway. But when I'm there, I say, oh, you know, I could use one of these or maybe one of these. And then you shop around a little bit and you buy more stuff and you have just cut Amazon out of probably two-thirds of the whatever you bought. That's what I do for same-day delivery.
But at the same time, many of these companies that you could do that with have gone out of business. You know, you look at all the companies that have gone out of business, starting with the Circuit City and Barnes & Noble. And I mean, they closed stores everywhere.
Right. And then you have Egghead and some of these places that used to have stores. No, they don't. I don't know. I mean, it just seems to me maybe they see a vacuum because these other guys didn't have the versatility. I mean, you could do a balancing act with your online sales. And I mean, look at the way when Sears began, as far as I know, they were mostly a catalog operation
in
the 1800s.
Yep.
And then over time, they opened up two types of stores. One, they opened up the regular Sears giant store, but I think the initial stores were these catalog outlet stores.
Right.
Which they still have one up in Port Angeles. There's one of those stores up there. It's a Sears store that is just a little, it's like a shack. And they sell, you know, tractors and stuff for the locals. And then you can also go in there and flip through the catalog and order stuff, and it shows up in a couple of days. But they do same-day delivery for certain other items that there's a need for in that vicinity. they could do something like that and then expand. I mean, it's there was a reason Sears did that and didn't stay in the catalog business. I mean, they're still in the catalog business over time, but they reemphasized the walk-in stores.
And then we see where it got them, almost into bankruptcy.
Well, that's the long arc. They were doing very well for themselves in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But that starting in the 1800s, I mean, maybe that long arc is just part of the way it is. I don't know.
I think it has to do with the long arc.
Amazon just can't sit still and just sit on these. You know, right now, everything they sell is either warehouse here or there or the other place, or they're doing all these joint ventures with millions of little companies. You know, this when you order most things now, it's not half of it. Only half of it's coming from Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, Ink for Less sends me my ink cartridges and so on.
I just think that it's getting to a point that finally, by the way, and maybe it was Bezos and all these guys saying, hey, look, we can spend whatever we want and they don't care because they just keep on taking the price up, believing that one day things are going to change or whatever. And I think...
Well, what about this? It's possible. I mean, they do this, so this same day delivery, this 2 days free shipping and all the rest of it. They're not making a lot of money.
No, well, it's just like anything else. It's like the grocery store. What's the margin there? 2%, 3%, maybe?
Yeah, 1 sometimes.
Okay, but you know what? It's like anything else. If you could take 1% margin on an enormous amount of money, just look at Las Vegas on their slot machines, right? The 99% payout.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take that every day. Put your money in, I get 1%. Thank you very much. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like just saying to somebody, hey, let me see your wallet. Thank you. I gave you back 99%. And Amazon, I just find this, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I find this whole venture into same day to be a real problem for them. And I just don't understand because it's going to add to cost. It's going to add to aggravation. It's going to add to a tremendous amount of competition because they're really at that point going to be competing at a whole nother level with all the brick and mortars anywhere, anybody that's in the area.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
so there's an announcement by a little flash came across my screen yesterday at about, I guess, about 4:30 on Monday. And it said that AT&T is now going to be offering 4G and LTE in flight for commercial and traditional passenger airlines. And I said, uh-oh, that's not good for Gogo. Gogo is the one that currently has all of the in-flight right now, right?
A lot of it.
Yep. I don't know who else. I've never seen anybody else have it. Boingo, maybe? Maybe? But I pretty
I don't
much.
Know.
Gogo. Well, that wasn't good for the stock. Down 28% today on for Gogo.
Well, that would have been a nice one to call.
Yeah. You couldn't have, I mean, who would have known that somebody else was coming in and whatever? Although it would seem logical that they could do that, obviously. But yeah, once that happened, the stock was trading down about 5%. And I said, oh, man, I think I want to hit this one. I didn't hit it. But it would have been a nice one to hit. It looked like it was going to kind of cave in. And it was only down about 14% at the close of the after-hour session and then just drifted lower all day. I mean, you don't want to come into competition with that. There was also, just back to Amazon for a second, the other thing I'd mention is that, you know, a lot of states are looking to tax Amazon's sales, right?
We do that in California.
Yeah, it's coming here in Florida also. So there's a study out that shows that the states that, in fact, implemented taxation on Amazon products, the actual sales of Amazon in that state went down. And I think that also, just to kind of put a cap on this whole issue, if they open up a lot more same day, they're going to have a lot more problems with taxation. The more
yeah.
states, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Bank of America. Oops. Little problem here. It seems they made a little bit of an error because they made this kind of, in the stress test that they submitted to the Fed, there were some errors, and now all of a sudden they're no longer allowed to suspend their dividend increase, and they're not allowed to put in their, continue with their $4 billion share repurchase plan until they get this whole thing sorted out.
Yeah.
Oops.
This company is weird.
Botched accounting.
Anyone who's done business with them knows that botched accounting is one of the things they do best.
Yeah. Did I tell you about my father-in-law? He got taken for $20,000 from... I think it was Wells Fargo.
Sorry?
Yeah, so he, now, you know, he has a computer. He's 84 years old. And, you know, sometimes he calls me up and asks me crazy questions like, you know, what happened here and I didn't do it. And I'm sure he may have clicked on something. But Long story short, somehow about $20,000 to $25,000 of charges were put on his account. And he looked, he said, wait a minute, I didn't do that. So we had to do all this research. Anyway, he went to the bank and they gave him a runaround. They don't know what's going on. And long story short, they finally reversed all this. Okay? And what happened was that there was some, just, you know, some fraudulent charges on there. There was a couple of wire transfers by someone and charges to credit card payments and all this. So they finally reversed it. But I said, well, what happened? They said, they won't tell me. I said, what do you mean when they won't tell you? They said, I have to sue them if I want the information because it could be detrimental to their reputation. I said, what are you talking about? So fast forward about a week and a half after all this happened, I call up the bank. I said, hi, I'd like to talk to this person. I want to talk. Okay, they give me the person. I speak to him. I said, hi, my name is Andrew Horowitz, and I am the son-in-law of this gentleman. And I give him. I said, can you tell me what's going on? They gave me a ton of information. Then I got transferred to someone else because the other person convinced him that if he took out a $100,000 line of credit at the bank, that he could save $10 on his checking and they would have some kind of additional fraud protection on there. So take out a $100,000 line of credit, you get a $10 per month waiver on your checking account, and you get some kind of better deal. He gave me all this information. Now, what's interesting about all this is I did not provide any information besides the fact that I said I'm his son-in-law. Is that unbelievable?
Wow. Yeah, especially since they wouldn't give him the information.
I was shocked. The whole time I'm talking to these people, I was saying, I can't. This is how these guys get taken. I cannot believe they were talking to me about this, about his bank accounts, all the charges that were made, the dates the charges were made, and all that.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't surprise me for some reason.
Yeah. So, but and then it also, I said to the guy, I said, listen, I cannot believe you made an 84-year-old man take out a $100,000 line of credit to save $10. Well, he thought it was a good idea to save $10. I said, hey, $10 per month. I said, I'll pay the $120. I don't need him having an extra $100,000 line of credit. That could be further tampered with.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, you could get, yeah. Yeah, you can get into trouble. I mean, it shouldn't be, but it could happen.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not going to use it. I mean, if he needed a $100,000 line of credit for doing remodeling, you know, the house or something, that's different.
Right. But I thought that was pretty pathetic that they would just give me information. So obviously with all the things that are going on with the Heartbleed and with the fraud and, you know, it's interesting. Let me just also say that I met with clients who are about 86 years old and I asked them, this is afterwards and about, I guess last week, I said to them, have you ever been at all? Did you have identity theft or did you ever have any fraud? And they said, absolutely not. No. And what was interesting about them is they're my only clients that we have to actually send mail to because they don't have a computer and they don't have email or they don't have internet access. So I'm wondering if the difference is because of the internet access.
I'm sure it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking as well. Because, you know, my father-in-law is one of those that when he calls me, he says, I don't understand. I can't get on the AOL. You know what I'm talking about? And like anything that happens with his computer, he calls AOL because he thinks AOL is the computer.
That's bad.
Yeah, well, is what it is. I guess he doesn't really figure out what he doesn't.
Get on the AOL.
No, he doesn't understand. I mean, I'm like, no, you don't have to actually go on AOL to go to the internet. He says, yes, I do. I have to click that because it connects me to the internet. No. Your computer is live all the time. Press the E, press this. No, I don't want to do that. I like to go, you know, go through AOL because that's how I can get everything. I can't get my mail. No, I said, yes, you can. You go to AOL.com, click in your username and password, and you can get your mail that way. No. I can only do it through the AOL. Okay.
That's fine. Well, if these guys, these old farts aren't going to listen to anybody, you know, they get what they can expect to get.
Well, they just, you know, listen, I think it's pretty amazing. 84-year-old guy is, you know, can work the computer and all to the level he does. But I finally put TeamViewer and I can get in there automatically because I couldn't take running to his house all the time.
Ah, good idea.
Yeah.
Now you're the hacker.
Yeah, exactly. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen is concerned that the standard models that central banks use to forecast inflation may be broken. Well, why did she come out with something like that all of a sudden?
That's weird.
Yeah, maybe it's not really. It's probably projecting a higher level of inflation than there really is.
That's not possible. We look at our shadow stats guy out of San Francisco, Williams. And no, it's not what's happening.
No, but this is...
It's always lower.
Listen, this is part of their communication strategy, which if you use...
the bullcrap to public?
Yeah. This is the old... This is actually what Soviet Russia did, or prior to Soviet Russia, what they did, and it was called propaganda. It was trying to change the consciousness of the listeners by providing some crap that can't be proven. So it may be broken. Oh, okay. So that, what does that say? So let's translate this. It says that if she believes that it's too high, oh, we can hope for more stimulus moving forward. The only reason, what I believe, was really to plant a seed that they think inflation really isn't that big of a deal without actually saying it. And that they may reconfigure and jigger the thing. Just like they did with, remember the 6.5% unemployment rate where they would stop buying bonds?
Right.
And then they said, you know...
Oh, that's interesting.
We don't.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be onto something. Just another scam to keep the money pumped in.
Yeah, exactly. Because they can't stop. I mean, although tomorrow is a Fed meeting. Tomorrow, they met for 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, and they kind of come out in the afternoon with their Fed rate announcement, which we know is not going to change, and their bond buying program update, which is supposed to be dropped another $10 billion down to $45 billion from $55 billion. So... we'll see. Also, we have an ECB number coming out tomorrow and some rates. A lot of people are still projecting that there will be significant deflationary pressures in that area and that will spur the ECB into action. I still don't know what they're going to do because they keep on talking about quantitative easing and bond purchases, but they can't do it because of the separation of all the various countries. It doesn't work the same.
Right. They've been talking about this for a number of years. They keep wanting to do these euro bonds.
Oh, boy.
Consolidate the or create a new class of bond in Europe that covers everything. And everyone knows, you know, nobody wants to do this on the one hand because it screws up whatever, you know, individual countries' bonds there are. Because people would rather go to the euro bond because it would probably be safer. And I think that's where this is headed. It has to be. It's the only way they can pull this act off.
Germany will have a conniption. Germany, I mean, why would you want to have your bonds, which are the strongest in the area, linked to some of the weaker bonds of countries that have a terrible financial situation?
No, Germany would be hit hardest.
Yeah. Which they were, you know, it serves them right because they really were the ones that really benefited from this whole deal. They got tremendous benefit as the major exporter in the region and therefore able to do a lot more business because of the cross-border issues were pretty much knocked down. Mm. And the ability for all these countries to pay in the same currency without any problems with, you know, currency exposure and currency swing problems. Because what would have happened is, if this didn't happen, if everybody was still in their own separate currency, the Germany's currency would be so high relative to the other currencies in the area right now that nobody would have been able to purchase their products.
Right. Yep. Yeah. No, this whole thing, the whole EU may be a German scam.
Yep. They did a great job of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about scams, you know, that we're still the finger pointing is going on about Russia. Some scares last week. There's some sanctions. The EU and China, everybody's kind of, we're going to put sanctions on Russia. Russia's like, okay, thanks. We're so scared. And, you know, they keep on encroaching. And as the issue arises on a regular basis, it kind of peters out for a little while, 3 or 4 days. Then all of a sudden it comes to the top and the markets get crushed. And then it's like, okay, well, things are going to get better. Nothing seems to be changing there. Am I wrong?
I don't know that they're – well, part of you – no, you're not wrong because what is it that – you know, they're essentially not doing much. I mean, they have a little exercise at the border like we do, a little exercise at the border and everybody gets all bent out of shape. Oh, they're going to attack any minute. I think the Russians are – I don't know. I think they're just waiting this out to see what they have to do. I don't think they're – I just don't see them as the big bogeyman that everyone else has made out to be.
Yeah, but it seems that that the whole Geneva pact that was made that weekend, that Sunday night, of course, on a Sunday night, when right before futures open, of course, we have to have the announcement. And by the way, there was an announcement today in the afternoon. Putin said that something to the effect that, you know what, regarding this, he's not going to retaliate other than the fact this may really crimp the energy relations that we have with Russia has with other countries that are imposing these kinds of sanctions.
25% of Europe's energy comes from Russia.
Right. What I want to know is, was Putin really making this announcement mid-afternoon in the U.S. when it was like 12 o'clock at night in Russia? I mean, since when? And I've seen several other announcements recently that were first-run announcements that come out sometime when it's like 3 a.m. in other countries. Are they really making these announcements at that time of day?
I would have to assume so. They probably...
You think these guys are not sleeping? You think that they're actually at 3 in the morning?
Well, I think you wake them up.
You wake them up? They're the ones that made the decision, supposedly.
I don't know. I never thought about that, the timing thing, but I should look into it.
It's crap. It's total
crap.
Yeah,
no, it is crap.
I mean, you should see this. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen recently, like, ridiculous stories come out. And then you look at the time. I have Firefox. So on the bottom of my Firefox, I have all the different times of countries around the world for just easy, you know. I don't have to, like, plus 5 hours or minus whatever. And I'm like, what? Did they really do that? That doesn't make any sense at all. But, yeah, this was at 12 o'clock at night, Russia time.
Mm.
I think Putin was getting his beauty sleep for his horseback ride in the morning. So, anyway.
Did you see that Ukrainian mayor from one of those, that Eastern Europe, Eastern Ukraine, who's got a bunch of pictures of himself with babes and shirtless and the whole thing, just like Putin?
Nice. Maybe that's what Putin's pissed off about.
It's like a big, it's like a big trend over there. Topless old men.
Nobody beats that Canadian mayor, though.
No.
That guy's something.
Yeah, but he's not topless.
No, thank God. Big fatty. Let's think here. Let's see. Oh, the FCC is coming out with new guidelines again. It would let broadband providers such as AT&T charge content companies additional fees for preferential faster routes to their homes to people, which we know what's going to end up happening. Who pays for that? It's going to be us, right?
Yeah, of course.
I thought this whole thing wasn't allowed to happen.
This is up in the air. This is a huge moment of debate amongst the tech community.
Do you think that? What do you think? I mean, do you think that if you're using enormous amounts of content, it would seem to me, by the way, if you're using enormous amount of context, you get a rebate, you get a discount. Isn't that how things usually work?
Yeah. The more you use, the cheaper it should be.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I have mixed feelings about the whole thing. I think net neutrality is a red herring. I know everybody's all, you know, been out of shape about it. They think it's just a couple of interesting arguments that I haven't made and I should, which is a lot of people say, well, you know, the internet's at the point now where it's like a utility. It should be like water and electricity. And those are the same people that do not like the idea of metering the internet like you would water and electricity. And so there's a bunch of, it's a very interesting time, but this is not going to last. There's no way that these people that are watching Netflix all the time, constantly, it's all they use the internet for, is watching movies, should be paying the same amount as somebody just uses the thing casually.
Well, they don't. Email. You think we should pay more?
Yeah.
Well, to a point. I mean, right now you kind of, in a way, do. I pay more money if I want faster internet.
Right.
So, you know, that's part of it. But, I mean, if I want to get, like, super fast internet, like just some ridiculous number, I'd have to possibly pay more. But the question is going to be right now also, in a way, AT&T charges more for different data plans. So if I want the regular package, which is 10 gigabytes of data versus maybe unlimited, I have to pay more. So this is going on under the radar in a way.
So I have a phone plan that is $30 a month, unlimited texting, unlimited data, and 100 minutes of talk, which I never use because I don't like talking on a cell phone that much. But I do like using it for data, and I also like to text. I think that's pretty reasonable.
It's very reasonable. Right now, I don't even know what my cost is. $150. Well, I have five phones, but $150. By the way, when do I take my kids' phones finally off my plan?
Never.
Seems that way. By the way, my daughter is in the process of getting an apartment in New York. She got a job. graduating from Columbia Graduate School in May.
In what?
Columbia, Columbia University.
Yeah, in what degree? In what?
She has management of every time I ask this question, I have a problem with it. She is going to be doing social services management, and basically, what she got hired by. I don't want to mention it because it's, but it's a big hospital in New York that is going to be interfacing with a charity, and she's going to be the liaison and program director. They created this job for her. So, but what's interesting is social need a job, a place to live up there, right? Which I'm all for. I said, listen, you earn this amount of money and you get paid this amount of money. We ran the budget, fine. Well, to get an apartment in New York, you have to have at least 40 times. Let me think about this for a second. 40 times. Yeah, 40 times the monthly rent in income to qualify.
40 times the monthly rent. Now, the rents there right now have gone through the roof. I think a cheap place is $3,000, right?
Yeah, you can, if you find something somewhere, a studio, which is basically a closet with a toilet,
yeah,
you can get it for $2,000.
Oh, I didn't know there were any $2,000 places.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have to make $80,000 a year.
$80,000. And if you can't qualify for that, you can get someone to co-sign or to, you know.
That would be you.
Yeah, 80 times.
You have to co-sign 80 times?
No, I have to have 80 times the monthly rent in income.
Oh.
And already, because she's not going to be making the 40 times, so no problem. I don't mind doing this, you know, backing her up and whatever. But now already have to give 2 years of tax returns, credit reports. It's like a laundry list of things I have to provide.
Yeah.
But that's if you can actually get the apartment, because once the apartment comes on, you call the realtor, gone.
Yeah, same way around here.
It's ridiculous. Now, San Francisco has a different problem.
Now, why doesn't she just move to someplace in Connecticut or New Jersey, like everybody else, and then come in on the train?
Not the
that's
same.
That's the real life.
I don't mind her living in Manhattan for a little while if she can handle it.
Manhattan is overpriced, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, if for a couple of years she could live there and enjoy herself and then realize what's...
And Brooklyn is where the action is for that sort of thing.
It's not cheap there either.
No, I know. Brooklyn, I think, has lost it.
Right. I mean, so, you know, you have to really go outside, and she's not going to have a car. So once you're outside, you know, there's a big difference in living somewhere like in New Jersey and commuting in, as opposed to having an apartment where you walk downstairs and you got 50 restaurants, 50 plates, you know, right there. The subway right there is very easy. And obviously, that's why you pay more. Now, in San Francisco, they're having a problem because it seems that there are many property owners that are evicting long-term tenants so they could rent apartments to tourists through a company called Airbnb. And other various online
right.
home
Airbnb
rentals.
Is the big one.
Yep. Now, here we have HomeAway, VRBO, VacationRentals.com. As a matter of fact, my lake house is listed on these sites, all owned by HomeAway. And we get tremendous action. And as a matter of fact, I'm booked most of the year.
Huh.
And I just actually, my lake house in Lake Placid, Florida, you know what I get a week in July for it?
Huh.
$1,850.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I'll take that. So that's if I did it, because I don't do that because, you know, then it would be a rental property. But if I was to do that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, wink, wink, yeah. Nudge, nudge.
Well, you said that part, but anyway. The owners violated local and city and state laws governing the use of conversions of rental properties to kick out tenants, two of whom were disabled.
Yeah, they've been kicking a lot of old Chinese families and all. This has been going on for a while. It's not a new story.
But the question is, are these tenants that have leases or that their leases are up and you could kick people out, can't you?
I think they went leased. I think they had a lease that they went started going month to month or something like that because these, you know, everybody's so casual in San Francisco. Oh, don't worry about it. I'm not going to kick you out. We'll just go month to month. Then they kick them out.
I mean, there's a big difference. When I rent the place for, if I was to rent the place for, let's say, 3 months versus a week, there's a big difference in the cost, you know, the income you can make from that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Now, IBM came out with earnings. They're going to be reducing their stock buybacks after a $8.5 billion buyback in the first quarter.
Huh.
But they're going to kind of rein in costs. Their earnings came in pretty lousy, as I saw it. Stock came in pretty good. not terrible, but came in. And, of course, a few days later, whoop, stock is starting moving up. They also announced today an increase in the dividends they pay, so they're not going to be doing any more buybacks. But I thought what was interesting was to look at the earnings growth trend for IBM. Looking at the quarterly earnings on a base, you know, looking quarter over quarter, which you compare it to a year ago, same quarter. And let's look at that backwards for about 5 or 6 years. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
What does that look like to you?
It looks terrible.
Terrible. Now, you can make the case that IBM doesn't often have a very good first quarter. You can see a consistent drop the first quarter. Okay, I'll go with that.
Not like this one.
This is bad. 15% drop in year over year. Now, if you look back to 2013, if you can kind of eyeball that, it wasn't like there was such a gigantic move up that caused a, you know, this comparison to be so tainted, you know? But what's interesting is that this is the worst quarter on a growth phase at all since way back when. In fact, when you look at their drop that they had from the high in, let's call it the end of 2007, where they had a 36% quarter-over-quarter increase year over year, and it dropped. So it dropped down, you know, dropped like, you know, 30%. But still, it wasn't this negative number. The comparison was down, but it wasn't as negative as we're seeing it now. Negative 15% quarter over quarter earnings. That's with the stock buybacks that they're doing and shrinking their float.
Right. Can you imagine what it would be like without that?
and people are still buying the stock. Why? Because of the dividend. And they know it. And this is my whole thesis on IBM, where the problems are. Their revenues have been reducing also every quarter. I mean, it's a slope straight down on a revenue basis, straight revenue, not even comparative. And then you see this horrible. We'll put the chart on the show notes and the page for this episode on dhunplugged.com. But I thought this was pretty startling. This is much worse than I've seen on other companies. But I got to tell you something. I looked at several other companies, and you look at like Coca-Cola. And they're in the negative area as well now. As a matter of fact, Coca-Cola, the worst they had was about negative 10% back in 2009. But their current quarter looks pretty terrible also right now. So we're seeing that companies, their earnings growth has been dropping off dramatically. Yet, at the same time, people keep buying the stocks. What does that say?
They're hard up for something else to buy.
Yeah, exactly. That makes for a very bad situation. It's like,
oh yeah, this has got major short written all over it.
Yeah, this is why some of the big boys are shorting it. But you know what? You come today, it's up another 1.5% today.
Yeah, no, you can't short it now. You have to short it at some point where complete and total realization takes place by the entire market, yep. And they all freak out and everyone goes short and sells and does everything in between to get these stocks down to where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, IBM's a, you know, a $40 stock in reality.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's down that far, but yeah, I just don't see how you can continue putting money into a stock, because you could make the case that, okay, I want the dividend. I'll go with that, you know, that you're paying something for the dividend, 3% dividend, whatever it is. But there has to be, when it comes to technology companies, something more than just, okay, they have a good cash, they're a good cash cow, and they keep on making money, but even that is now being tested. So is it a value stock? Maybe. Is it going to do a lot better in the future? I'm not sure how. They're selling off parts of their company.
They've been selling off parts of the company for over a decade.
Well, this reminds me of that Monty Python, you know, when he gets his arm cut off.
It's just a flesh wound.
It's a flesh wound. It's nothing. That's exactly what's going on, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, IBM. Twitter earnings came out this evening. They were actually a little bit better than expected in some areas, but a little bit not in others. One of the big issues was that the growth of monthly active users, or MAU, was the slowest since they went public, which is not too long ago. They passed the 241 million active users and 184 mobile users, but the stock, which was bid up about 7% during the regular hours, plunged down about, I think, about a total of 15% from the top there. In the after hours. So it tested 38. And it's currently closed in the after hours at 3783. We're no longer short. We get stopped out of that. But, boy, that our clients are short. We have a short position on that. So that's actually good. But I still think that Twitter is a crappy company in terms of investment.
I think I can't think of any way to argue against that.
Yeah. Let's see here. Gillette is coming out with a brand new razor. It no longer requires guys to scrunch, stretch, and twist their faces in order to catch missed hairs. It seems they have this three-dimensional movement that adjusts and pivots to allow the blade to ride the facial contours. You know what I did last week? You know, you get all these various shaving
creams. What's the symbol for Gillette?
G?
Just G?
I think it's owned by Procter & Gamble now. PG owns this.
Oh, PG.
Well,
oh,
PG okay. owns Procter & Gamble. Owns
oh, I didn't know they did. Yeah. Okay. Well.
But I went and I looked up what was the best shaving cream. You know, there used to be a shaving cream I had that would do this face numbing thing. You know?
And by the way, Gillette has a subscription service.
Oh.
I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, you probably get every once in a while new razors automatically. It's like the monthly medicine. You know,
well, they used to have the hot shave. I like that stuff.
Yeah,
it would heat up on your face, but I guess they took it off the market out of the blue, and I think it must have been somebody, I don't know, maybe some people were allergic to whatever chemical it was that was heating up the foam, but it felt great.
You're not talking about the machine that would heat up, are you?
No, you could buy a machine. That's what they had in barbershops to heat up, but they had a can. It was called the hot one, I think, and it was shave foam. And you put it, and as soon as you squirted it out of the can, it started heating up, got really hot.
Wow.
It was great.
Maybe it was radioactive or something.
No, it was just some, you know, minor reaction of some sort.
Well, I looked up a variety of things, and there's a couple of these shave creams I found. One of them is Lab Series. I used to use it a long time ago. I didn't realize this was an Aramis product way back when. But it's like a cream, and you kind of just put it on your hand, put it on your face, and a little bit of water and all that, and the shave is unbelievable. I don't know what it does exactly. There's another one, too. I got some Italian shave cream.
Yeah, I actually have some of those Italian shave creams. I use them once in a while. They're kind of different.
Yeah, a little menthol in there and all that. But anyway, I thought this was interesting that the last time they came out with a major launch of a razor was in 2010. It's only a few years later they got this major thing. We'll see how this works. $11.50 for a razor blade.
It's too high. Well, yeah, I'm looking at it now. It just pivots every which way. This is a gimmick. It's not going to mean you're going to you're still going to have to be able to. You're still going to have to like crunch your face here and there to get.
Yeah, because you pull the skin and then the hair is moving a different direction and move out, right?
Yeah, you pull back because for the two women that listen to the show, you're shaving away. A lot of people use electric shavers. It's a different technique. But you shave and shave and shave, and then you water down your face, and you feel the areas that you did. It's a rubble.
Right.
So then you got to pull that area tight, and then you swap it across it, and you get it nice and trim. How are you going to stop doing it? I don't see how this is going to fix that problem.
Yeah. More propaganda.
Yeah, it's bull crap.
Yep.
It's another gouge.
Yep. So we did discover, this is very exciting, by the way, a new planet. Seems that theoretically, it can support life. It's the first validated planet in the habitable zone. It's called Kepler-186. It's orbiting around. This is a star, and it's a dwarf star that's cooler than Earth's sun and burns hydrogen, according to the report. Supposedly, this particular sun will never go out.
Okay.
And they believe that life is most likely to rise on planets with liquid water, which this has supposedly. Now, this is seen through some crazy telescope that doesn't actually see stuff. It just measures like dark areas and things like that. It's some weird.
Yeah, you know, I am skeptical about the accuracy of these predictive planets based on telescope.
But it's validated.
Data.
It's validated.
How do you validate this? You have to go there to validate.
Well, maybe they
can't even predict tomorrow's weather on our planet.
Well, they sometimes get it right. Maybe they're trying again.
Yeah, when you have day after day of hot sun or it's raining every time of day,
yep.
Yeah, you usually hit it then.
Yeah.
And that's how they get their good numbers. They get 67% accuracy because most of it is a no-brainer.
So you're saying that astronomy, when it comes to this, is no better than the economists that are out there?
I just don't see how they can be.
Is that a train?
Yeah, I got the window open because it's so damned hot.
You don't use air conditioning?
And there's a train going by.
You don't have air conditioning?
We're in California. Hello.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Hmm. Couple of things. What do you think about Sterling from the Clippers? Oops.
Yeah, this guy. Well, the guy's a bonehead.
It's got to be a lesson here somehow.
Well, the lesson is don't trust people. You know that are sneaky recording you.
And
especially when I don't know if you listen to much of the tape. I was morbid and I listened to the long version of the tape, which is about 15 minutes, and it's like she's reading from a script.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so stupid or drunk or I don't know what he is.
Yeah, he's hot for her.
He's old.
He's old. You know, horned up.
And she's reading from a script that's so apparent, and he's like buying into all of it. He's answering these stupid questions that she's going out of her way to ask, and it's just the whole thing is a total setup. I mean, the guy is a douchebag. There's no doubt about that, and he probably shouldn't be owning anything like the team. But this is beside the point. It was, and he never used the N word, which I thought was interesting. And I think there may be some misinterpretation of what he actually said.
Well, they're going to possibly force him to sell the team, which I thought it was really interesting.
Well, the owners of the club owners, they're the ones that have to vote 2/3 to oust him. Otherwise, he can sue back. He can sue the league.
Yeah, but if they don't vote to oust him, then they're going to be said to be, oh, you agree with him then?
No, that's the problem. He's they're in a corner. They can't get out of it. They have to vote to oust him.
Yeah,
he's obviously a pain in the ass to be a member.
Right. What was the last
trouble? Now they have to have a meeting. They got to go vote on it. They got to discuss it. These guys would rather stay at home.
I think we should have Marge Schott look into this. What do you think?
Yeah, there you go. That's the first example of this type of person.
She was fun. She was stupid, yeah, but she was fun.
Coot.
Yeah, exactly. But she was a riot. I don't mean what she was saying.
This guy could be as much fun if they would, but no, they're not going to put up with it.
You know, you're going to have a Saturday Night Live skit on this.
Yeah, probably.
You're definitely going to have one. Probably on Weekend Update. You know, when they do an interview of him, that would be great. It seems that, Bill Ackman has been, he was the guy who was, hey, JCPenney is coming back to life and we got this major play and this is the company of the future. And well, that didn't work out so well. Then he was all about Herbalife. Herbalife is going to drop. It's a pyramid scheme. It's all this bad stuff and betting billions of dollars on it. That didn't really work out too well either, by the way, because the Icon came in and, pretty much told them, ha-ha, we don't believe you. And they started bidding the stock up pretty good. Stock was up, 50, 60% from where it was at one point, and obviously that was taking its toll on Ackman. And then what happened was, if you recall, it was the final interview. After these guys are blowing shots at each other and Icon was doing his little Twitter thing, well, they got heated, and they started calling each other all sorts of names on TV. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Well, it seems that they wanted to mend fences. So they seem that Mr. Ackman called up Mr. Icon's office and spoke to his secretary first and says, I'm calling to forgive Carl. And the Mr. Icon said that it's a blessing to forgive, and I forgive you. How nice is that?
I wonder what they're up to.
And then there was a picture of the two of them. And I just had to cut this picture because there is a significant difference between the looks of these two guys in terms of who you want to be dealing with and who looks like they are semi, just the look of it. I'm just saying the look of it. And they may not really hold anything here, but man, Icon looks terrible, doesn't he? With the bushy eyebrows and the...
Oh, yeah. He needs to go see a barber or something. He needs to get a beauty parlor. He needs to get some bronzer.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got liver spots all over him. He's pale as a ghost.
Yeah,
He's got his nose. Well, at least he doesn't have rosacea, but he's got boils all over his face and that bushy eye. He looks terrible.
Terrible, especially next to this other guy who's somewhat of a handsome guy, right?
Yeah, he looks like a snarky handsome guy.
Oh,
he looks
very
like
snarky.
He looks like a total asshole handsome guy.
Yeah, this is not the kind of guy you want to be best buds with because you know he's going to be the whole time just telling you how wrong you are about everything.
Yeah, yeah. Then he'll drive off in a McLaren or something. Make you feel like a complete idiot.
Right, exactly. What are you driving? Oh, I'm driving a Tesla. Oh, okay. And he pulls up in the other. Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I took my first long ride in a Tesla last week.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
It was a car. The first time I was in it and sat in it, and I was like really wowed. I'm like, look at this cool panel and the electronics, and you don't hear the engine. And then we took a ride. I went to this Taste of the Nations, where they have all these restaurants that come in and give you all this.
Oh, yeah, those things.
So I went and said, hey, why don't you bring the Tesla to my buddy, and we'll drive up in it. Okay, so it was about an hour drive. The whole time I'm like worrying that we're going to run out of electricity. The whole time, okay? Realizing that there's nowhere to be charged anywhere in the vicinity, right? Okay, yeah. aside from that, I sat in the front, sat in the back. It was a car.
Yeah, it's what it is.
It's a car. It's very nice, but I didn't feel like I was in like a muscle car or some kind of really powerful something. I didn't, or anything like that, you know? And this guy had the full package. This is the sports package, you know, the extra, you know, I got a small wanker package, the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was not, like I said, it's a beautiful car. Nothing beautiful. It rode very nicely. There's no question about that. Had a lot of pickup. But on the highway, it's just a car.
You know, I never felt that way about the Bentley Continental.
Ah.
A friend of mine's got one of those. And I really, that car just exudes luxury. It's a gorgeous thing to be in. And I've been in the Tesla, and it's you're right. It's more of just a car. I mean, when you're first in, it's kind of astonishing. It's very quiet, and it can accelerate quickly. And it's a Tesla. It's not a brand of car that you're used to seeing. I sat in a DB9 over the weekend. A guy has one, which is the James Bond car that was in the movie. Which is I expected a lot more of that Bentley feeling from that car, but I didn't have it. It just felt like a nice sports car. It wasn't that mind-boggling.
And what do you do when you're at a stoplight and you got some hot chicks next to you and you want to rev the engine? What do you do with the Tesla? What are you
going to do? You have to get the thing set up with those shocks that make the car go up and down.
Oh, up and down. Because you're not going to, I mean, if I rev the engine, you're just gonna, this is the sound if I rev the engine. Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, right?
Now, the question is, what does it accomplish to any hot chicks to have the guy rev the engine except make them think you're a jerk?
I'm not suggesting I would do this, but, you know, you see this. You know what I'm talking about? You do the old rev the engine. You see this in the movies.
Yeah, you do it, too, and when you're in high school and probably beyond that. Yeah, you see, say, hey, yeah, you rup, 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 you know.
Well, how about those motorcycles? What's the point of those motorcycle drivers that every single time they come to the light, they gotta?
This is because they have really a bad gastrointestinal system, and when they're where they're farting, they're actually doing that with the engine to cover up the noise.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. I see. Because every time I come to a light and there's a motorcycle, I'm like, why is he doing that?
My favorite story about that is I used to have a couple of motorcycles in my day. But my favorite story about those guys with those Harleys, and they're always rum, and they give it a lot, too. They really give it a rev. Is the guy was at a stop sign right at the front. He's doing this, revving, and the cable to the clutch broke.
Oh, God.
And so he took off into traffic.
Oh, God. Hanging off the back of that bike, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Let's get to the stocks. Why don't we?
Indeed.
Because we have some stocks to talk about, and I think there's some interesting things, kind of a way out concept that I'm going to bring in here. Nothing major, but something interesting as an idea this week. There's a lot of different stocks. We're halfway through the earnings season, and the fact of the matter is that there's a lot more movement we're going to see. And I would venture to say that we're going to see a lot more volatility going on. But some of the recent plays that we have played just amazing, just really quite astonishing. This is a discussion that we have, the game that we play, picking out some stocks for various different reasons, whether there's some good short interest, some earnings, maybe even some insider buying or selling. And John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own these stocks. We will note that this is not an offer to buy or solicit any security, and you need to see personal financial expertise from an official planner of sorts to make sure that you are getting good advice. Don't take our advice. So listen, got a couple of stocks that came off. Twitter came off last week, made about 19%. We talked about Fannie Mae. SoFund finally came off, made about 15%. Fui Films made 17%. Caterpillar got stopped out finally. Amazing. Finisar still on there at 18.73. Your Dicom up 11%. Anheuser-Busch, Bud, up 9%. Global Grass just hanging in there. Opco up 6%. DaVita, which I still think is a great opportunity due to their dialysis machines, up 1.5%. Cena, they got whacked. This is a internet company in China primarily, and there was a whole hootenanny about some of their content, and they had some content that the Chinese government said, ain't happening, take it off. So the stock got just
hammered.
That was
a great call, great call.
Yeah, I didn't know, obviously I didn't have any insight of that at all, but interesting, yeah. Weibo, which is the Chinese Facebook slash internet slash Twitter company, came public at about 17 a week and a half ago, went to 23.24. Last week I would have shorted them on the show if we had a show, and we'd be in some real money right now. Back to about 17, I think about 1760 or so on Weibo. Terrible earnings. But this goes alongside of what's going on with Sina as well with the content issues in China. Destination XL down about 7%. AGCO up 4%. Navistar up 7%. That was a nice buy on yours. Chipotle cracked 500 yesterday. Went to 75 or so yesterday. Up 3.5% today, but up 11% on the short. Exactly, we didn't talk about this, but exactly what I had been talking about. The food costs are going up. Their margins are compressing. Their earnings are coming down. They're not increasing the menu prices as fast as they can. That was the one caveat, remember. And the stock got trampled.
Yeah, no, I think this was another superb pick on your part. So you actually are winners on this, where we stand now. The real winners are two shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, these ones, there's some up higher up, but they're not short term. So the shorts, especially Cena, but the other short is Chipotle was an outstanding call. So shorts are the fact that shorts are doing well is, you know, there's supposed to be a, according to, if you listen to the last No Agenda show, Adam had some data that the embassies of certain countries are being told that a war will break out a civil war will break out in the Ukraine in 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And it's the kind of thing that would really set the market on a downward spiral. And so I'm looking for some of these shorts. I don't have any for today's show I don't even know what this 2 week thing is all about, but I'm on the lookout. Now this week I'm not going to short. I don't have a short, but I do have a long, but it's a penny stock. And I need a 20% leeway.
Okay.
And I'd like you to look at the chart.
Okay.
And it's a China stock, as a matter of fact. And it's got some insider buying. So it's a cheap stock with a price. Of course, we don't, you know, the Chinese are crooked in this regard. So we don't know if there's a bunch of lying going on, but the price earnings is 4.
Mm.
And market cap is low. It's about 80 million. The stock's trading at about $2.30. But if you look at the chart, it seems to be.
We need the symbol.
I know. I'm teasing you.
Ah, you're not stalling. You're teasing.
CHLN.
Waiting for data. China Housing and Land Development. That's interesting. You know, they're trying to slow down that whole area.
Yeah, but look at the chart.
I'm looking. Hang on. I got my actual main system up here. Yeah, if you can get above 240, you're in good shape here.
That's what it looks like.
I mean, you could gap up all the way to, you know, 275, 280, then to 3. It's been consolidating pretty well from, let's call it, the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't trade much.
No, but, you know, it could. If it ever did, this thing would skyrocket.
Let me see what hang on. $27,000 shares today.
Well,
It's okay. That's the whole point of the penny stocks or this, whatever you call these
things. It's a penny stock. But, you know, about it. I need a 20% leeway. I could be kicked out of it quickly, but I don't think so. Right now, it's the trading range at this point seems to be between 220 and 240, and it's kind of a corkscrew-looking chart. And if it it looks to me to be like a slow move up. It does take hits every once in a while, but the last hit, it was at 240 and dropped to 220, which is beyond the 20%. Stop out range. So I think I could do some damage before it did one of those again.
Yep. Anything else? Any other ones?
No, that's all I got.
I was looking the other day, I can give you, if you want, a list of inside buying and selling I have on Bloomberg too, aside from like Inside a Monkey and all that. But I had a weird one this week that I wanted to put up there. This is Vertnix Holding Corporation. Now, this company is a holding company, and it's one of these, it's kind of like, it reminds me of a little bit of Rambus, where they have all these patents and all these different kinds of potential opportunities. And if something breaks to their benefit, it could be really good.
What's the symbol?
VHC. Now, this is a small, little weird one. But stock was up very nicely last week, last Friday, on announcement that embedded in the Apple Samsung court documents, it looked like one of the fines that was going to be possibly dealt to this company for some kind of infringement of sorts and some money that was coming to them was going to be, you know, beneficial. And a few major players came out with some comment on this. And if, in fact, this plays out, if it could be, this stock could really zoom. It's in a really good place in terms of the chart. Total long shot here, but I think an interesting play nonetheless in terms of opportunity.
It would have been more interesting at 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I mean, this is nothing more than simply if they can get something going on this gig. But we have a lot of stocks on here now. I mean, we have
good, we don't need to
15
overload
stocks
it
on this. I mean, you're going to see, I think, a lot of volatility in the technology space with this Twitter announcement. We'll see if they keep coming back. I will tell you that even though the NASDAQ has been trying its best to come back, many of the companies in the real hardcore new tech area have been just killed. Look at a company called FireEye, F-E-Y-E. Take a look at that chart. Now, this company does...
I know this company.
They do internet, or they do protection, and I guess...
All right, these are the guys who discovered the recent Internet Explorer bug.
Well, one of the problems is with this company, if they are in the business of protection of, we'll call it technology, right? So whether it's malware or whether it's, viruses, you know, this whole, I think, story that it took so long for any of these companies to figure out Heartbleed is not the best for them.
No.
But I think the stock went from what, 100 down to about 40?
It looks like just under 100, down to about 38 maybe, or 37 perhaps, but it's at 38.8 right now.
Yeah, that's a good error. We actually own a piece of this not too far from where it is right now. This 38 level or so, I mean, they tried to push it up 2-3% today. It came right back down. When it moves, it moves. And if we can get a little bit of a bounce here, this thing can move pretty well. I mean, but that's just one example of many of these companies, you know, that have been really under fire, just tremendously getting killed. Like, look at Plug Power. This is now not a technology, but it's a small cap play on batteries and on electrical, you know, on electrical powering. You look at Plug, I mean, it's come down from like 7 or 8 down to 4.5. Another smallie. But again, you look at 3D Systems, what's gone on there? It's at 45, down about 9% today after their earnings. These 3D companies are really getting beaten up pretty good. I was kind of surprised that 3D got hit so hard because they're one of the better ones in the space. But right, man, these guys, the whole grouping is
The space itself, the 3D space, I mean, I think it's... I like it, but it's so far in the future.
But some of it's not. I mean, they're using some of these companies and some of these devices for making various parts in, you know.
Yeah,
for...
no, I know, but that's a small segment of the market, right, in terms of the potential for these things. I mean, at some point, all manufacturing could be done by with this methodology if they, devices get. You know, we have to think about how the printers evolved. The first inkjet printer, which I actually had I had one of them. HP released, it was the one who invented largely the modern inkjet, even though there have been technologies doing this for a while. But they came out with a commercial product, very small little printer in the, God, when was it? It was like in the early 80s or something. Anyway, I had it, and it was like it came out just before the laser jet came out. And the inkjet printer, it was you compared to what the laser jet was doing, was like a piece of crap. It was, and it spit all over the place. It was, and, you know, the printouts looked like, you know, they were horrible.
Right. You had to let it dry a long time.
But it printed, but it was just junk print. It was dot matrixes were clearer than the original. And then, meanwhile, you had the laser jet. I would have never put my money on inkjet.
Right.
And because of just what it looked like. This is this, and this is the laser jet. This is where the future is and all the rest. I would have been dead wrong if I had invested solely into lasers. And I think the same sort of thing is going to happen with these printers, because right now they print crappy, horrible looking things, most of the cheap ones, and it's like a joke. But, you know, watch the way the inkjet printer went from that early printer to these high speed. They print books with inkjets now. Right. There's literally inkjet print on demand books you can get. They're photos. They print these delicious photos. Delicious.
Nice. Sounds like my grandmother. She was, everything was delicious.
I don't know why I said that. I feel like an idiot. But anyway, they print these dynamite photos that are, you know, all photos are done now this way. So I think that all manufacturing eventually maybe become coming out of these 3D printers. They have to increase in speed like 100-fold, and, you know, they just have to change. But the technology is pretty cool.
Did you ever see one up close and personal printing something?
Yeah.
It's not ink, but is the whatever that substance is.
A lot of them are open air. You can just sit there and watch it print.
Now, is it expensive for the whatever it's called, the cartridge, the ink, whatever it is?
The plastic,
yeah.
The powder?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's not that expensive. Is it messy? It's not messy, is it?
No, it's not messy at all. It's what's interesting about it.
I got to get one of those just to try it.
Yeah, get one of the little desktop ones.
Yeah, just check it out and make some.
All you're going to do is print chess pieces and little things, napkin rings. It does those pretty well.
Does it cost a lot to get the CAD design for the?
There are a lot of them public domain. You can get those. A lot of them are just traded freely. It's like sewing. If you're an embroidery club, you know, and you're an old lady, it's kind of like having an embroidery machine.
Hmm.
And you go to the embroidery club, and the women exchange patterns. Oh, I've got one that prints the New York Yankees logo. And then you get that from her, and she trades, or you give her $5. But what do you get? I mean, you don't even get a New York Yankees logo. You get a napkin ring.
Mm-hmm. I would also like to actually short some of these home builders.
Oh, really?
If you looked at the recent numbers on new homes last week, down 14% month over month. And you remember something that in the beginning of the year, there's a whole hoop to do about, oh, well, don't worry about it. The weather is the problem. Everybody's going to come back, right?
Yeah, we haven't seen any evidence of that.
Right. And if you recall, I also mentioned that I heard from some source that home builders are very concerned about the spring selling season. Right? Now it's playing out. Now, we did see some good earnings from D.R. Horton and a few other of the companies. They came out, and they were surprisingly good. But that is past information, right? That's looking backward. And if you look at the stocks, they kind of like D.H. Horton kind of popped up about 6 or 7% or whatever it was the day of their earnings, maybe more than that. And it's kind of drifting back down a little bit. And with the fact that interest rates could go up, but more importantly, we are seeing some softness in the home building area because obviously there's a general slowdown in that. I just think that may be something interesting. I'd put D.H. Horton on here just to have it as a marker. So I'll add that since we're talking. DHI.
All right, you might as well.
DHI is the symbol. We'll put that as well. We'll have all this up. You can, of course, find all of the information that we talked about here in the notes on the page over at dhunplug.com. Of course, if Twitter survives for very long, you could also track us on Twitter. You got The Real Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz, so one word. And, of course, if you want to tell some friends, well, we'd be more than happy, and that would be, in my opinion, delicious.
Delightful.
Delightfully delicious. I will see you next week, my friend.
Okay. All right. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.